Kia ora koutou. Thank you. I just want to start by acknowledging it's not at all daunting seeing some people in the room here. Steph, welcome. Probably the person I know who has the most knowledge about homelessness anywhere is sitting right there, so she'll tell me later everything I get wrong, which will be great. There's also enough council staff in the room to make this a formal council workshop, so thank you all. Just a little bit about... I'm not entirely sure why I'm standing here in some ways speaking on behalf of 200-odd million Christians, which is also slightly daunting.
2.5 billion.
2.5 billion. Well, only 200 million of them will agree with me, I can promise you. So my background is indeed as an Anglican priest. I'm still an Anglican priest. I hold no bishop's license at this point in time, which means I'm completely free to critique the church. Not that it stopped me when I did hold a bishop's license. But I actually started my ministry as a Methodist minister, and my first patch, if you like, was the Methodist Central Mission in Auckland, based on Queen Street in those days, now a shopping centre, ironically. And it does feel at times as though homelessness has dogged my professional life. My very, very, very first parish gig was sitting basically inside the Airedale Street night shelter in central Auckland, and throughout my time in the church, including my 10 years as vicar of Havelock North, which is not usually recognised as a centre of homelessness in New Zealand, I found myself wrestling with this topic, because I can say this officially now because I'm a politician. It is complex. It's a very it's incredibly complicated. I want to talk a little bit of the politics of homelessness as well, but I've been invited here to speak on behalf of the Christian community, so I feel I have to begin by putting some of the Christian approach to this forward. And I do want to acknowledge right up front, thank you, Paul, our shared heritage really means that a lot of what Paul has said I could repeat, but I won't, because obviously the First Testament is as much as an important part of our Christian tradition as is the second. So I do think in some ways the First Testament we need to hear again. Let me share with you some words that did dog my 10 years in Hawke's Bay. And they're words that every Anglican vicar will have struggled with from time to time, and anyone who has taken, and I once worked out just over 1,000 funerals, will have come across them at some point. The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate, God made them high and lowly and ordered their estate. The third verse of All Things Bright and Beautiful. It's the verse you won't find in any modern hymnal in this country. You will still find it in hymnals in some places. It is the verse that at least one bishop of the Church of England described some years ago as that evil hymn. And his explanation, as the Bishop of Kent actually, and his explanation was because basically it blames God for everything. Why do we have homeless? Because God created them such. Why do we have poverty? Because God created it such. And while Cecil Frances Alexander was a fine hymnist in many ways, as a Christian theologian, she left a little bit to be desired. Our Christian heritage tells us very clearly that God did not create these things, and God does not ordain them to be. At the core of the Christian faith are the three concepts of resurrection, reconciliation, and redemption. Nothing is unchangeable. Nothing is as it must always be, apart from God and love, if you want to take the Apostle Paul at his word. Fundamentally, homelessness is a symptom. Homelessness, if we want to really dig down into it, is a symptom of poverty. Poverty itself is a symptom of a variety of, well, we could call them contemporary ills, but the reality is it's complex. Homelessness is something that we have had forever, and some would argue it's something we will have forever. But that does not mean it is God-ordained. It simply means that it is something that we have to struggle with forever. Steph kindly provided me with these, and I'm sure she would love you all to take one before you leave tonight. This is a day in the life of DCM. I'm sure all of us here are familiar with DCM. once known as Downtown Community Ministry, who have been working in this area of homelessness for 50 years this year in Wellington. So actually almost as far as long as I've been alive. And what this is really about is about people. And I guess for me, that is the core of what we're talking about. We are not talking about a homeless person. We are talking about a person. We are not talking about a complex issue. We are talking about people. We are talking about men, women, young people. We are talking about gay, straight. We are talking about everybody who finds themselves, for one reason or another, with housing deprivation issues. That, for me, is fundamentally where the Christian faith begins. It is about manaakitanga. It is about hospitality that fundamentally offers respect and care to the other person, and especially to the other person, the one not like us, the one that we might not understand, the one that we might not like, the one we might rather not have to see. In my life as a city councillor for the Lambton Ward, one day I might do a day in the life of a city councillor. It would be the most boring thing you ever read in your life. But the one thing that I do get on a daily basis is at least one, usually two or three emails from people who genuinely don't want to sound the way they sound, but they sound the way they sound. And that is essentially boils down to, I have a person outside my doorway who is creating problems for my guests, who is creating problems for my business, who is creating problems for me. And they're completely right. And I have huge sympathy with these people. I have been with them as they have mopped up the third load of human excrement from outside their door that day. I have been with them as they have sat and listened to the person shouting obscenities at their guests as they try to come into their business or into their home. I have been with them as they have struggled to understand, what can I do about this person who simply won't move and let people get into my shop? And it is really, really hard. And it is really easy to see why, after a while, that is no longer a person for them. It is simply a problem. My role is often just to go and sit with the person. And more often than not, what I will end up doing is sitting. Well, actually, what I'll usually end up doing is we'll take a trip to Burger King, we'll get a cheeseburger, and then we'll sit and we'll have a conversation. And somewhere along the way, we'll try to strike up a deal, which will keep everybody a little bit safer and happier for a while. Steph knows the story well. And it is the frustration of those who live with it on a daily basis that gets poured out to me. But from my Christian perspective, it is the desperate attempt to see the person within the problem that is the challenge. And I have by no means individually mastered that challenge, because it is still very easy for me to walk down my street and see the problems before I see the people. As a politician, I hear the arguments around what do we do about homelessness, but I also hear the immediate other question, which is, and how do we pay for it? Because, and I must confess, while I have been a critic, and I'm a Labour Party politician, so I hold that flag up, but I have been a critic of Kiwi Build in many ways, but I have a huge amount of sympathy for Phil Twyford, in as much as at the end of the day, someone has to pay to build every house. No one is going to provide a house for free. My challenge to my own church, to the Anglican Church, my challenge to all Christian churches, and indeed tonight, because I have the privilege of being in front of others, my challenge to all faiths is help. Help. Christian churches own more land in this country than any other organisation, including government. We are land rich. We're often cash poor, but we are land rich. We have churches in Wellington that are sitting more or less empty. We're closing churches in Wellington on a regular basis. Not one of those church sections in Wellington has been converted into truly affordable housing and made available at no profit to the churches involved to those who would be able to make use of it. Not one. There are many church houses which take people in, but ultimately that is actually not providing a house for someone long term. I truly understand the challenge of churches to pay their bills. I also understand that one of the fundamental tenets of Christianity is that survival is not our first priority. Ultimately, the church is there to do something other than just make sure it lives for another 100 years. If that's all we worry about, well, we get more of what we've had for the last 50 years, and some of us know what that's looked like. So ultimately, what can we do to alleviate homelessness in Wellington? Build more houses, provide more houses, make them available to those who can use them. It is a complex problem, but there are some simple solutions to help address the symptoms. And the most simplest of those is we don't have enough houses. More houses will help. More houses will help across the board, wherever they are on the housing continuum. But ultimately, anyone who can make a house available for a price that people living on a benefit can afford is really going to be helping to address this issue. I rent a house in Wellington. Karen and I live in Arrow Valley. We call it Arrow Valley. The council calls it Brooklyn, but we'll argue that one another time. And I know how much we pay in rent. I also know how much we could afford to pay in rent if I was still earning a stipend, and it would not look like what we pay in rent. We are lucky. We can afford that. Many, many can't. One of our greatest challenges in Wellington is not going to be houses to own. Our greatest challenge is houses to rent. The rental market is our biggest crisis. We have a massive challenge in the to-own market, but we have a crisis in the rental market that is only going to get worse before it gets better, because Paul is entirely right. We need better quality houses. It's appalling that we have tenants living in houses that are unhealthy, and there is legislation coming in that will help to change that, and that legislation will take a whole chunk of houses out of our rental market. It could be argued the only thing worse than a bad rental is no rental at all, and there are going to be no rentals at all in some places. And so we are going to have to deal with our rental market, and that is the stuff that I get paid to think about on a daily basis. Welcome to my world. I do want to note, though, that there is a difference between being homeless and being houseless. We have the highest percentage of people renting in Wellington anywhere in New Zealand, and a large number of those are renting because they can't afford to own, but actually a large number of those are renting out of choice as well. And that's because of the sort of town we are. Obviously, we're a university city, whichever university that may be by name, but we are also a city of public servants, many of whom don't know where they want to be in 3 years' time. And there's not much point spending $800,000 on a house if you're going to be moving in 3 years' time or in 5 years' time. So we have people who choose to rent. We also have people who choose, I'm just going to put Jim on the spot, so Jim chooses to house it. Good on him. And that's a great way to do things. We have people who have found creative ways of living in the city. And under some of the technical terms of homelessness, some of them could be considered homeless, but they're not. I would argue they are homeless. They are not houseless. It's interesting hearing Paul talking about the importance of a home. I think that's probably a little bit different for the Christian tradition than it is for the Jewish tradition. Jesus wandered by choice. Jesus had homes that were not his. He was a great gatecrasher and loved a party as long as he didn't have to throw it. And I think for us as Christians, the idea of this is our home is actually a relatively contemporary one. The earliest Christian churches met in houses because there were no church buildings for a whole variety of reasons. Today, that's happening again in many places. Today, it's simply too expensive to own church buildings. Anyone who's been responsible for the upkeep of a Victorian church built to seat 500 with a current parish of about 50 knows the challenges that those properties pose. So it's a sense of homelessness, but maybe by choice to some extent. but not houseless, because we all have a place to go. When I talk about those who are homeless, I'm really talking about those who have no choice. They have no house. They have no place that they can put over their head at night, or at least none that they can count on consistently going forward. I could waffle on for a long time, and because I'm a politician, I often do, but ultimately I'm going to sit down and I'm going to wait till we get to the questions, because what I'm really interested in is a conversation. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be part of a conversation that crosses our faiths, because I think this is something for us all to think about how we address. But I'm really interested to hear from you and to talk to you and to discuss what you can do, what we can do, and how we approach that. Not just at a personal level, but at a systemic level as well.